asking you to compromise your conscience. You can know that that would not be an expression of love. You might displease them, but you what can love them even when you're not pleasing them. So by this, we know we love the children of God when we obey God and keep his commandments. Like I say, God's law guides our love. Love guides our love. And the law guides our love. And see, the law also does no harm. It protects. See, scripture says the law protects marriage. You shall not commit adultery. The law protects life. You shall not murder. The law protects personal property. You shall not steal. The law protects contentment. You shall not covet. Rather than delight yourself in the desires of your heart, which is the only way any of us would know to live apart from God intervening in our life, God tells us to delight in him. As we delight in him, he can give us the desires of our heart. And so when we're stirred up to desire something, we commit that to God. When you delight in the desires of your heart, you're going to have some unnecessary conflicts and quarrels in your life, because you're going to get in conflict with anybody that comes between you and your desire. You're also going to program unfulfillment in your life. When you delight in the desires of your heart, whatever you're delighting in can never ultimately satisfy. So the law protects it. It guides our love, and it does no harm. It protects us from doing harm to others. Now, while you can keep the outward requirements of the law and not be loving, as 1 Corinthians 13 would say, you can give all your possessions to feed the poor and not have love. That is true. You can keep the outward requirements of the law and not be a vessel of love, but you can never be a genuine vessel of love and violate the law. So love will fulfill the law. Love is always in harmony with the law. That's when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. The Apostle Paul would say, against such things, there is no law. Against such things, there is no law. You know, a beautiful expression is you're crying to God and you're saying, Lord, in this difficult situation, maybe sometimes when it's hard to please or it's hard to know what to do, but God, I'm believing you. And you can pray with absolute confidence, Lord, I believe you to give me the wisdom and the discernment, even the motivation and the will when the emotions aren't there. Lord, to be a vessel of love in this situation. I love the promise of 1 John 2:10. Those who walk in love, there is no cause of stumbling in them. Okay, Lord, I'm doing what I'm doing out of love. Now, God, show me. And maybe we need to open ourselves up to other people's counsel, saying, look, I think this. You have any other insight in this? And we all need that. But, Lord, you believe God. When you're a vessel of love, there's no cause of stumbling. 1 John 2:10. Now, all this idea of love fulfilling the law, as we now live under the grace of God, let's talk a little bit about that. Love fulfills the law. Yes. You see, grace doesn't ignore the law in this sense. Let's talk about the grace of salvation. Grace of salvation, it does hear the law speak. And you know what the law says? The law says, if you violate the law, a holy God must punish that violation. And grace says, I understand that. And I look to the one who totally took my curse, my punishment for me, paid in full. So I don't ignore what the law says. Yes, I know I deserve his punishment, but I'm believing the Lord that he took my punishment. Also, when the law speaks, it says this: if you want to be accepted by God, it's not a matter of maybe looking a little bit better than some other people or being good part of the time or being good outwardly. No, it's from the innermost being. God wants me to fulfill the law all the time. It requires perfect acceptance. And grace says, I realize that. And so I look to the one who perfectly kept the law. And when I look to Jesus, God imputes his perfect record to my account. And that's why you can wake up each day, no matter what may be going on in your life, if you know Jesus, and you can say, I'm accepted by him. I have peace with him, as this beautiful book of Romans has told us. You have peace with God, Romans 5:1. You have peace with the Lord of the universe. So see, the grace of salvation doesn't ignore the law. How about even the grace of sanctification as we live the Christian life is what this passage is talking about, love fulfilling the law. Well, see, there's nothing wrong with what the law told us to do. It told us things that were good to do, that were important to do, that were for other people's best. But the problem with the law, we read, is what? It was weak through the flesh. Our inability to keep it perfectly. That was the weakness of it. But what the law could not do, God did, we read in Romans 8:3. What the law could not do, God did. He condemned sin in the flesh. In other words, we no longer have to be a slave in bondage to this self-will expression that we're bound to apart from Jesus liberating us, that hinders us from keeping the law. Jesus says he's freed us. He's freed us through his wonderful work at the cross, not just paid for the penalty of sin, but even prayed for it to be released from its power. So that now, in the words of Romans 8:4, as we walk by the Spirit, the righteous requirements of the law are fulfilled in us. The righteous requirements of the law are filled in us. So you see, that's how we pay this continual debt of love. I still have that capacity of the flesh, and I must walk by the Spirit not to carry out the desire of the flesh. There's still that desire to want my way, to say, hey, this person doesn't deserve my trying to give them their best. But okay, Lord, I thank you. I no longer have to be controlled by that. And Lord, even though I ask that you open my life up to you for your Spirit to empower me and motivate me and express, even when the emotions may not be there, to God, be a vessel of love to this person. That's the grace of God that enables us to fulfill this continual debt of love. So just a few very brief concluding comments. As you examine your life this morning, as I examine my life, is the love of God flowing through you? Is the love of God flowing through you? Is there anybody in your life you're unwilling to be a blessing to, unwilling to have an attitude of commitment toward their best? In other words, if there is, I'm bitter toward that person. And all of us knows what that struggle feels like. All of us have experienced that struggle. God wants me to deal with that. He wants me to come to him and say, Lord, I am hurting. I need your merciful touch upon me. I need your healing touch upon me. And Lord, I open my life up and I ask that you produce in me what I'm not capable of producing in myself, to be a vessel of love. Now, there may be many people in our life that are not willing to receive our love, and we're not responsible for that ultimately. As I said, we can build a bridge of reconciliation and they may choose not to cross the bridge, but it's important that we build that bridge of reconciliation. Certainly, as you examine your life, is the love of God flowing through me? So obviously start with the people closest to us. If you're married, how about your husband or wife? If you're a parent, is the love flowing through you to your children? Believe God, saying, Lord, in this situation, this stage of life, would you give me wisdom how to be a vessel of love? God will honor that prayer. He will honor that prayer day by day. Happen to be meditating on this verse these last couple of days, Psalm 9:3-4. And it says, when my enemies turned back, they stumbled and perished before you. For thou hast maintained my just cause. Thou dost sit upon the throne judging righteously. I'm saying being a vessel of love to you, the world, and so those is a just cause that God will maintain. So, Lord, I'm believing you, Lord Jesus. I want to stand before the judgment seat of Christ that I was blameless in love toward my family. I was blameless in love toward the body of Christ. I was blameless in love toward your world. Lord, I'm incapable of that. But, Lord, I'm believing you. I'm believing you. That's a just cause you can lay before the Lord. So start with those closest to you, your husband, your wife, your child, or it could be your brother, your sister. It could be a relative, it could be a friend, it could be a coworker, even an enemy, one who's determined that they don't want your best, they have malice towards you. Believe God. Now, as I said, how do we love? We love by faith. Faith works through love. Love is the motive power of faith. I love that the late Dr. Bill Bright, the founder of that campus ministry, originally called Campus Crusade for Christ, now called CRU. God in his mercy used that in my college experience. But I remember Dr. Bright saying, if all you desire is the glory of God and the well-being of others. It's impossible to ask God for too much. See, when you're believing God, saying, Lord, I want to be a vessel of love in this situation, God will own that cause and he will give you the grace. You do not have to be the source of love. We run out quick. You know, even in the best of relationships we have, sometimes we just aren't enough to maintain those in the way God wants us to. But love is from God, 1 John 4:7. You can be a vessel of love when you're not able to be the source, and God doesn't ask you to be the source. As we seek to love by faith, and you believe him for that. Believe him. I love the Philippians 1:9-11. I quoted that earlier. We have that reference inside our wedding rings. I pray that your love for God, your love for others would just keep on abounding, keep on growing, and in knowledge and discernment, that you would approve the things that are excellent. What are the most excellent? What are the best ways to be a vessel of love? God, I need wisdom for that. I'm not smart enough to figure that out. And one day we'll all stand before God in this prayer in Philippians 1:9-11, that we'll be sincere and blameless when our Lord evaluates us, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ, the glory and praise of God. Well, believe God for that. Believe God for that. Remember love, it's an act of your will. Emotions may sometimes have to follow way down the line. It's an act of your will. It's an act of your will. When you're not feeling well, it's hard to think about being a vessel of love. So God, we look to him. But also I remind you of that wonderful promise. He who walks in love, there'll be no cause of stumbling in us. So I pray that will be our lot in each one of us as we believe God for him to give us discernment today as we seek to be vessels of love. Thank you so much for your expressions of love toward me and toward each other. I'm just going to bow for prayer and I'll turn it over to Bill or Mark. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you for your gracious enablement of the Spirit. Thank you for Jesus, you dying, that freeing us from being the selfish people that we are by nature. But we thank you, God, and we believe you, Father, one day to stand before you at the judgment seat of Christ. Being sincere and blameless in love. We need your help. I pray in the most difficult situations of each person's life, God, I pray you would give them great wisdom and great grace beyond themselves to be your vessels of love. We pray this as a church, Lord, to our community and to our world, and to those around us. We ask your highest purpose to be accomplished through this fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen.